As we enter Holy Week, we begin our Mass a bit differently, with a gospel recalling the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, and hear the Passion according to Mark's gospel. Remember, this opening is a ritual experience of the joy and anticipation the people of Jerusalem felt as the one they thought was the Messiah was coming to set them free. Soon the crowd's shouts of joy turned to shouts of condemnation in the Passion narrative. Processions at Mass are not just a functional movement, but are about life's journey with Christ through death to resurrection, about the journey of every disciple.
I invite you, if you please will, to please rise and turn towards the rear entrance of the church. Welcome to Holy Week, everyone. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sisters and brothers, these weeks of Lent, we have been focusing on our journey together, what it means to be a synodal church, open to the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, His church. We now have arrived with Christ in Jerusalem, ready to walk with Him these sacred days of dying and rising. That is the Paschal mystery. This is the same mystery that is present within us, the church, as we journey together. We're meant to do and experience all the things that He did, including forgiveness of sin, the binding of each other through love to the family of God, self-emptying, suffering, the brokenness of the world and our own humanity, and ultimately rising to new life. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, we follow in His footsteps and journey with each other, that we would be made partakers of the cross and also share His resurrection to new life. I ask you, if you will, to please raise your palm branches as we ask God's blessing upon us and upon these branches. Sanctify these branches with your blessing, O God. Increase the faith of those who place their hope in you. Hear the prayers of those who call upon you. We today hold high these branches to hail Christ in triumph. May we bear fruit for good works that may be accomplished with and in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus and His disciples drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately on entering it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone should say to you, 'Why are you doing this?' reply, 'The master has need of it and will send it back here at once.' So they went off and found a colt tethered at a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders said to them, 'Why are you doing this, untying the colt?' They answered them just as Jesus had told them to, and they permitted them to do it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloaks over it, and He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from their fields. Those preceding Him, as well as those following, kept crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. Hosanna in the highest.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. sisters and brothers, like the crowds who acclaimed Jesus in Jerusalem, we too journey together and go forth in peace.
Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Give praise to the Lord, for he mercy endures forever. Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the
And let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who, as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so to merit a share in his resurrection. For he lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. As we're entering into these most holy days of Holy Week, we hear scripture passages from the prophet Isaiah, the suffering servant, from Philippians that talks about Christ self-giving and emptying for us. And the gospel passage is the gospel narrative of the Passion according to Mark, which will be read in three parts.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ears that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today could be found at the inside back cover of the hymnal.
My God, my God. have surrounded me. A band of the wicked besets me. They tear holes in my hands and my feet. I can count every one of my bones. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? They divide my clothing among them. They cast lots for my robe. But you, O Lord, do not stay afar off. My strength, make haste to help me. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? I will tell of your name to my kin and praise you in the midst of the assembly. You who fear the Lord, give him praise. All descendants of Jacob, give him glory. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. My God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory, praise, and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory, praise, and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ became obedient to the point of death, even in death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Glory, praise, and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time, so the chief priests and scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said,
"Not during the festival, for fear that there might be a riot among the people."
When he was in Bethany reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly, genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant.
Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages and the money given to the poor.
They were infuriated with her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you. Whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, whoever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, that she has done what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for the opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want to go to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparation for us there."
The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish, "For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it was written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them and said,
"Take it. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the new covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
"All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
"Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be."
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. And then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch."
He advanced a little, fell to the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass him by. He said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will."
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely."
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
"Rabbi."
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
"Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day, I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scripture may be fulfilled."
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard, and was seated with the guards, warming himself by the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging,
"We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands within 3 days, and I will build another made with hands.'"
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But he was silent and said nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?"
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
"What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
"Prophesy."
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently and said,
"You too were with the Nazarene Jesus."
But he denied it, saying,
"I neither know nor understand what you are talking about."
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
Once again, he denied it. A little later, the bystander said to Peter once more,
"Surely you are one of them, for you too are Galilean."
He began to curse and swear,
"I do not know this man about whom you are talking."
And immediately, a cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
"Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of?"
Jesus gave no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison, along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. And Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him."
Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
And they only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple and, weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews,"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated the place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. And then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified 2 revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"Look, he's calling Elijah."
One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in 2 from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James and of Joseph and Salome. These women had followed him when he was up in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. And when it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it for the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched while he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Such a privilege to enter into these sacred days, this sacred time, this sacred space of Holy Week and to do so with one another and experience the depth of Christ's solidarity with us, his people, his full self-giving, his entering into the very reality of our death and abandonment and bringing us with him to new life. There's a very popular social psychologist now named Brené Brown, and Brené Brown became popular over the last number of years through what's called a TED Talk. Anybody know what TED Talks are, by the way? A couple of you? Okay, a few people. TED Talks are basically short 10-15 minute talks. They're usually on a particular subject. They're usually greatly informational, educational, and inspirational. So Brené Brown became popular because she gave a talk on actually vulnerability and leadership, understanding of empathy and trust within those who are leaders within the world around us in secular society. And so Brené is she's an author. She's written like 6 books. She is a sociologist, training by sociology. She is a speaker, is called upon around the world, and she actually does, as most popular probably, I think, for, she does podcasts. And so she's done a number of extensive podcasts exploring issues of social psychology. And so she, in her TED Talk, among other things that she became very popular for, expressed an understanding of the difference between empathy and sympathy. And I really encourage you, anybody who has a computer or a device and internet, to go onto YouTube and put in Brené and put sympathy, empathy. It will come up right away, right? Because it's this extremely popular talk. And it's this cartoony little, they actually have like these animal cartoons that kind of help express this. But she helps understand what's the difference between sympathy and empathy. And she says that empathy drives connection. Sympathy actually destroys connection and real healing. And so she says when empathy happens, she sees it within a sacred space. Someone shares something that is deeply troubling to them, that they're deeply struggling with. It's almost like they have fallen into a pit or a hole, and they say to you, it's scary, I'm stuck. It's dark down here, right? And so that's an invitation into a sacred space. Here's what sympathy does in that situation. It looks upon the person with pity and says, oh, that's bad, you know? Like in the gospel passage, you know, they say, they go, ah, to Jesus, you know, you said, you know, you could do this, save yourself. Ah, that's the sympathy, right? Looks upon and says, oh, you poor thing. And then oftentimes tries to do something like, oh, here's a suggestion. Oh, can I give you a sandwich? Something like that, right? That's what sympathy is, right? Empathy is something much different and deeper than that. She describes empathy as when the person is in the depths of the pit and says, it's scary, I'm stuck, I'm overwhelmed. What you do in empathy is you actually climb down into the pit with the person and are mostly just present. As a matter of fact, she says that most of the time, any response that we have is not going to be helpful. That's not what brings strength, courage, healing. What brings strength, courage, and healing oftentimes is just the connection. I'm here. Wow, that is overwhelming. I don't have any answers. Thank you for sharing that with me. I'll be with you, right? That's what empathy is. Entering into the depths, the pit, with someone to help them realize that they're not alone. The gospel passage of Mark is a pretty stark passion narrative. It's direct, it's stark, and Jesus, within Mark's passion narrative, is deeply human, right? He enters into the depths of what it means to be human in some of the most difficult and worst times of life and living. He enters into the Garden of Gethsemane and says, if you will, and finds a silent God. It says when he was arrested, they all abandon him. There's even a young man who they grab his garment and he streaks off, right? Everything is abandonment and left behind. Denied three times by Peter. In the trial with both the high priest and Pilate, Jesus doesn't say a whole lot, right? He actually realizes in some ways that he's got to enter into the depths of this, despite how confusing it must be for him. And in Mark's gospel, Jesus is not in charge. He doesn't necessarily understand or know or anticipate, hey, I understand this is going to happen. I know this is all part of God's plan, right? That's John's gospel. That's the last one written. That's where Jesus kind of knows. It's almost like he's prophesying each thing as it's going to come. In Mark's gospel, there's none of that. As a matter of fact, it feels like Jesus seems to be just as confused as any other human being would be in the midst of these circumstances, right? And he enters into the depth of it. Abandonment, darkness, injustice, and death itself. And there's this one really simple, short line right after it says he breathed his last that says the temple, the curtain of the temple, was torn open. And what that means, as far as the Jewish understanding would go, is that there's this curtain, that the temple area has multiple levels or layers to it, right? And the center of the temple area where the Ark of the Covenant was thought to be kept and stored was called the Holy of Holies. And there was very few people who were able to go into that, right? It was only the high priest, it was only at special times, and there was a curtain that no one was allowed to go into or go through. And that's the curtain that's torn open because the depth of Christ's humanity, his empathy, his willing to enter into abandonment, his willingness to enter into death, and some of the darkest of what humanity can experience. That's the good news of the Passion narrative. Who of us has not felt absolutely abandoned at points in our lives? Who of us has not experienced deep suffering, physical, relational, emotional? The worst kind of suffering is the break that happens within the depth of our loving relationships, right? Which of us have not experienced that? The good news for us, as we hear proclaimed in the Passion narrative, is Christ tears that open, enters into the pit with us, and helps us realize we're not alone. We're not alone here. And brothers and sisters, that is also part of the principles of what it means to be a church journeying together with one another, to be a synodal church, to help one another experience the understanding in the depths and take the courage to be with people and with one another in the depths of everything that is the darkest, scariest, most overwhelming places, to help one another to experience with the courage of Christ and the courage of one another that we're not alone in this, that we're here to express a sense of depth of empathy when someone shares something that's just so sacred, to kind of tear open that curtain, to enter into the pit with them and help them understand Christ is here. I'm here. I'm present. I'm not going away. You're not alone. Christ even says on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned or forsaken me? So that you and I, with Christ and one another, could know what it is to journey together and know that we're not abandoned in Christ Jesus and within the church.
Together we stand and profess one faith.
I believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things are made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, by the power of the Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord accompanies us, and we accompany one another in our greatest need. We do so also by bringing needs and prayers of petition.
Our response is, change our hearts, O Lord. As we reflect upon your passion, Jesus, help us to become more aware of the people who suffer around us. We pray,
change
our hearts, Lord Jesus. As we remember your mother Mary, who witnessed your death, may all mothers who watch their children suffer be comforted by your love and our hands. We pray,
change our hearts, O Lord.
As a community of faith, we ask for the grace to embrace all peoples, especially those who we find difficult to understand. We pray, change our hearts, O Lord. As a people gathered in your name, may others witness our love for each other. We pray,
change
our hearts, O Lord. As your disciples, we ask for the strength to face our daily burdens, trusting that you will redeem all suffering and evil. We pray,
change
our hearts, O Lord. As we move closer to the joy of Easter, we recall those who are being baptized and those seeking full membership with our Catholic Church. May the Holy Spirit show them the face of Christ. We pray,
change our hearts, O Lord.
Let us pray for those who have entered eternal life this week. May they find comfort in God's embrace. We pray,
change our hearts, O Lord.
Let us pray for Irene Niziol and all the intentions present on the altar, along with those we hold in the silence of our hearts. We pray,
change
our hearts, O Lord. Calling on the loving intercession of our patron and mother, we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Our next song will be Inside the Inside Back Cover of the hymnal.
Sing your praise. If it's me that you judge, then Lord, let my heart awaken. You save me, you rescue me. Lord, I sing your praise.
As we journey with Christ and one another, with him we offer our gifts and lives. Pray, sisters and brothers, my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that though we do not merit it by our own deeds, yet by the sacrifice made once for all, may we feel already the effects of your mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. It is truly right, just, our duty, our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ. Though he was innocent, he suffered willingly with and for sinners. He accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins. His resurrection has brought about our justification. And so with all of the angels, we praise you as in joyful celebration, we acclaim. You, Almighty Father, we bless through Christ, your Son, who comes in your name. He is the word that brings salvation, the hand you extend to sinners, the way which your peace is offered to us. When we ourselves had turned away from you on account of sin, you brought us back to be reconciled, Lord, so that converted at last to you, we might love one another through your Son, who for our sake handed himself over to death. Now, celebrating this reconciliation Christ has brought us, we entreat you, sanctify these gifts by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, at whose command we fulfill and celebrate these sacred mysteries. About to give his life to set us free, he reclined at supper. He took bread, giving thanks, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, on the same evening, he took the chalice of blessing in his hands, confessing your mercy, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free.
Celebrating the memorial of the death and resurrection of your Son, who left us this pledge of his love, we offer what you have bestowed upon us, a sacrifice of perfect reconciliation. Holy Father, we humbly beseech you, accept us also together with your Son. And in the saving banquet, graciously endow us with his very Spirit that takes away everything that estranges us from one another. May he make your church a sign of unity and an instrument of your peace among all peoples. Keep us in communion with Francis, our Pope, David, our bishop, all bishops, and your entire people. Just as you've gathered us now at the table of your Son, bring us all together with the glorious Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the blessed apostles, with all the saints, and with our sisters and brothers, and those of every race and tongue who have died in your friendship. Bring us to share with them the unending banquet of unity in a new heaven and a new earth, where the fullness of your peace will shine forth in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Trusting the Father's kingdom at the Savior's command, formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray.
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever.
Lord, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will. For you live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Peace be with you.
May this incense in our lives that you have blessed rise up to you, O Lord. May your love and mercy come down upon us in our lives, our journey together. Let us pray. Nourished with these sacred gifts, we humbly beseech you, Lord, that just as through the death of your Son, you have brought us hope for what we believe, so by his resurrection, may he lead us to where you call. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Look, we pray, Lord, on this, us, your family. Do not hesitate to be with us who believe. And he who was delivered into the hands of the wicked and submitted to the agony of the cross, may he draw us with him to the power of the resurrection, for he lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessings of Almighty God be upon you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Mass is ended. Go in peace, preaching the gospel with your lives.
Thanks be to God.